The title of this sermon is Transitions, Gateways, and Portkeys. And the sermon draws on Genesis 28, 10 to 19, and Romans 8, 12 to 18, and 23 through 25. There are many reasons I love being a pastor. I'm drawn to reading the Bible, learning how the Bible came to us. I love reading Christian history, and I love the conversation between Christianity and other religious traditions. I love figuring out how a family of faith can work together. I have a flexible schedule, time for continuing education, and a wonderful community of colleagues. I yearn for truth, that is, we yearn for truth as a community, and I yearn for this truth in myself, in relationships, in God. And it is my work to pursue this, and I trust you yearn for truth in your relationships and with God, and it's your work to pursue this too. Most of all, I get to be with you, people with whom I share values, values of self-reflection, self-responsibility, hospitality, outreach, and care, and also making love real in our contribution to others near and far, making the world safer and more equitable. I am surprised, still surprised, and sometimes with delight, and other times I'm challenged by people's reactions when they learn I am a pastor. This happened a number of years ago when a conversation with a repairman yielded my identity as a pastor. I was serving First Congregational Church of Western Springs at that time. When the man had located the Western Springs Church geographically in his mind, he then asked what we believe as a church. He followed this with a list of questions to which I think he expected me to say yes, which I was guessing for him would confirm my status as a true Christian. The list ended with, "Are you going to heaven?" Oh, it would take at least 15 minutes to do justice to each question, so I just opted for the last one. About heaven, it's complicated. It depends on how you understand heaven, I said. Long pause, puzzled look on the man's face. I continued, I am guessing you and I may read the Bible differently and understand how it came to us differently. And we might understand heaven, even heaven, a little bit differently. Actually, there's nothing I would enjoy more than sitting down with a cup of tea and talking about heaven. He cut me off, throwing up his arms, laughing a little. He said, save your breath. I read the Bible literally. Pause. I know I'm going to heaven. He followed this with a fairly articulate, if dogmatic, distinction between salvation by faith or works. I didn't reveal to him that this was not the reason for my hesitation about heaven. My hesitation had to do with the very meaning of heaven, not about how one gets there, and my understanding of who God is. My hesitation would be called ontological in the world of theology and philosophy. A short while later, he said, is your church like the one across from the LaGrange Library? Yes, I responded. That is also a United Church of Christ, hoping to connect with him. Crestfallen, he said, that pastor didn't know if he was going to heaven either. And that guy never asked me back. Well, our scriptures present several ideas of heaven today. Today we read about Jacob, who sees angels, God's messengers, ascending and descending a staircase. Sometimes the translation is ladder. Choose which one is more alive for you, staircase or ladder. I believe the Hebrew is closer to a stairway to heaven, a la Led Zeppelin, than Jacob's ladder. The image is something like God at the top, messengers ascending and descending, and Jacob at the bottom. Jacob had an epiphany. The very place he is lying is the gate of heaven. Two things jump out at me in this short story. One is that God says, all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. This sounds very inclusive to me. God's blessing ripples out beyond where we can see. Jacob, in some way, is to touch all families of the earth, and through his revelation, I am inferring that we can all know the staircase. If Jacob and Rachel are the progenitors of a faith community, we can find this staircase too. And the gate of heaven is a stone. It is here that Jacob accessed God. This ordinary place is a place of divine transformation. It seems the stone gate is less gilded, less pearly, and less remote than our modern jokes would have us believe. In fact, if the stone is a gate, then perhaps the gate is more like a portkey in Harry Potter than a gate with a latch and hinges. Do you remember portkeys in Harry Potter? Perhaps like a portkey, anyone can put their hand on it and get to wherever that portkey takes you. Perhaps this portkey allows all who touch it to experience the divine. Jacob's dream is there to touch everyone in some way, and it happens in a very ordinary place. That is a great beginning to a story. This dream story is part of the longer epic story of Jacob's life. I want to highlight three themes that run throughout and hope your interest is piqued for you to read the whole story beginning in Genesis 25. The first theme is that Jacob acts competitively from birth. If we want to categorize him, he would be called a scoundrel. Jacob, you may remember, tricked his brother Esau out of not one but two privileges, his birthright and his father's blessing. Esau gets fed up, and not surprisingly, Jacob learns his brother is plotting to kill him. Jacob does not think long about whether he wishes to live or die. He runs away. He is afraid, and this young, impetuous young man heads for the country, where his uncle lives both to escape his brother Esau and to find a wife. Perhaps most notable is that his journey begins by feeling the pain he has brought upon himself and Esau. He begins the journey in fear, but eventually, as the story unfolds, he is reassured by God. His remorse can be a path to heal the hurts and divisions he helped to create with his brother. I submit we are a lot like Jacob. Jacob is tempted by wealth, affirmation, and competition. We too are tempted by these very things. Jacob doesn't have the skills to address the conflict with his brother. He lets his reptilian brain take over and he flees. Conflict avoidance. The second theme running through the story is that Jacob moves from ignorance to knowledge, depending on himself to depending on God, faith in God. In the beginning, he is unaware and untrusting that God will keep God's word. God plays the part of an indulgent parent and remarkably goes along with Jacob's negotiating. Even though we see Jacob poised to become the founder of Israel and the 12 tribes, he is wary. At the beginning, he is wary about this God. Jacob says, if God keeps God's promises, then I will take God to be my God. Personally, I like this feistiness in Jacob. Jacob is new to this relationship, and he is out to protect himself in this initial stage. Throughout this pilgrimage that Jacob is on, he continues to learn from the pain he brings on himself and others. What he discovers is not a God of magic, but a God that is always present, a God he can depend on. We are like Jacob. We are always in some way discovering our relationship with God and always working to trust God more. And in this process, the stairway becomes more apparent. We begin to discern the path. Surely the Lord is in this place, and we do not fully know it. The third theme is that when Jacob flees, he finds himself on a journey, a path of learning, a rather lonely path. It is the paradigmatic pilgrimage. Leaving home and traveling is the environment Jacob needs to connect with himself, to reflect on his relationship to Esau. It is, if you will, a pilgrimage to find himself, his family, and God. In this journey, Jacob discovers that fleeing does not bring him peace. Jacob gets to his uncle's home only to find his wiliness and wit is matched by his uncle. His uncle Laban tricks him on several occasions. It is only through his perseverance in his work and the hard work of relationships that Jacob begins to build trust with his father-in-law, Laban, his family, and his community. We are a lot like Jacob. We face an inner journey and an outer journey as well, one that we need to initiate and within which we need to persevere. It is a journey on which we are dependent on others for community and support, one in which we gain understanding of our abilities. With some effort and some luck, we might awaken to see a stairway to heaven that has been there all along. I want to recount a story about an African queen, a real African queen, a woman from a royal family in Africa. She came to observe a New York grade school. In one classroom, a boy was in timeout, separated from the rest of the class in a corner. The queen asked why this boy was separated, and the teacher said he was very uncooperative and a bad boy. Nothing had come of him and nothing would come of him. The queen asked permission to talk to the boy. She created a certificate which made the boy an honorary member of her community, but not just a member, a prince. The certificate acknowledged that the boy had many gifts to give and some instructions on how to give them. Sounds like a little bit like the Wizard of Oz. And yet, it was only a change in perception on the queen's part that helped the boy see himself differently. It was only a change in perception that led the teacher too to see him differently. And these shifts in perception led to a significant change in the boy's behavior. He became a much more cooperative and caring partner in the classroom. The queen was a portkey, if you will, to that stairway. The queen brought God's stairway down to earth. Jacob's is an epic journey because of these themes, moving from fear to freedom, ignorance and suspicion of God to certainty of God's presence, from loneliness to community. Jacob's journey is my journey and yours, and I submit it is in fact a journey to God in heaven. I am more comfortable with uncertainty than certainty when it comes to naming who God is, more comfortable with the letters YHWH, which stands for the ineffable, Yahweh, than believing we can know God and name God. I'm more comfortable with the journey rather than the destination. I am more curious about the possibilities in our lives than what stands in the way. How can God move us from an experience of a stone pillow to seeing a stairway unfold before us? How can we open ourselves to what God is calling us to do, to learn, to become? And I believe the injunction not to judge in the Sermon on the Mount, that it means being open to others who define their faith differently, like the repairman. I want to hear and love those who are more comfortable with certainty than uncertainty, who are convinced they know what heaven is and that they will get there. Why? Because Jesus showed us the way to love everyone.